When God does something like that in you, even when the enemy is mad about it, I want you to understand God has a tendency and a habit of doing things that people talk about. When God does something, he usually does it in such a fashion that people's going to talk about it. People's going to talk. That's part of God's way. That's the way he does things. That's why your testimony is important. That's why your testimony is important. One of the defining characteristics of this church is that God did such a work in them that it was seen in the community. It was seen. It was talked about. People discussed it. It was the topic of conversation. And I want you to understand that God still does things like that today. God can still come in and turn a city upside down. God can still change you from the inside out, from the top to the bottom, in such a way that it is the topic of conversation and people talk about it. That's what happened in this church. I believe that God still wants to move that way. And I'll say this to you now. When you get the real thing, I don't believe you can get the real thing and nobody know it and nobody talk about it. You hear me tonight? One of the defining characteristics of what happened in them, which was nothing more than some Holy Ghost preaching of the gospel and a powerful move of God in which they were born again, what happened with that is people talked about it. They seen it, they heard it, and they talked about it. And I just want to say this again tonight, that when we let God do in us what he wants to do in us, people's going to see it, they're going to hear about it, and they're going to talk about it. Whether they talk good about it or whether they talk bad about it, they're probably going to talk about it when we let God do what he wants to do. I'm telling you something. God means to work in such a way that his work will be renowned. Do you believe that tonight? God don't want to do great works and do them in secret. God is doing things, you need to understand, for his glory and for his name's sake. And that means that it's going to be seen, it's going to be heard, and it's going to be talked about. And so when we let God do in us what he wants to do, and when we let him have his way in a church and in a community, it's going to be seen, heard, felt, and talked about it. Somebody say amen. And let me say this. If what God is doing ain't nobody seeing it or hearing it are talking about it, then we need to question if we're really letting him do what he wants to do. God, he likes to make a display, a public display. He likes to make a show openly over the enemy. He always has. He always will. You understand? You understand with those 10 plagues in Egypt, what he was doing was making a mockery out of every false god the Egyptians had. He did it on display. He made a show openly. He was going to do something so grand that they would see it, hear it, and talk about it. I want to tell you something. When he went to Calvary, he did the same thing, even greater. When God moves in us the way he wants to, it's going to be seen, it's going to be heard, even though we're supposed to go share our testimony, I believe that when God does it in such a way that people around us will recognize it and they're going to talk about it. Now, like I said, whether it's good or bad, when God gets a hold of you, people's either going to say God's got a hold of him. God changed him. God remade him. God rebirthed him. He ain't the same guy I went to school with. He ain't the same guy I worked with back then. He ain't the same guy I used to run around with. God did something to him. Or either they're going to be critical and say, well, he got religion. He got religion. That's just cause they're running from the same thing God did in them and that God wants to do in them. They're going to say something, good or bad. So one of the defining characteristics is he says, listen, I want you to know, remember what Paul is doing. He's saying, church, be strengthened and be encouraged by what God has did in your life. Don't forget what God did in you. Even though you're facing opposition and affliction, and even though the enemy's in front of you and there's an assault and there's an attack of the enemy, and even though the city's turned upside down and all this is going on, even though that's what you're having having to deal with, this affliction, I want you to focus on what God did in you. And I just want to remind you and affirm to you that what God did in you, it was real and it was authentic. I know, because everywhere I went, they was already talking about it before I could even get there. And so he's affirming what God did in them. He says, look, I don't want you to get discouraged, and I don't want you to fall away. Remember, God did such a work that everywhere I went, they was talking about what God did in you. And I want you to know, church, tonight, that in the midst of opposition, those who know you've encountered the Lord, you know you've believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you know you've been born again and saved, you remember that, and you don't go away from that. You'll be encouraged by that. And also know this, church, that God wants to do something in us that's going to be evident in our community and everybody that comes in contact with us. And that's what we need to long for and seek for. Such a work as that. Such a work as that. Now, there may be some churches criticize us for what God's going to do in us. There may be some people that are drawn to us because what God is going to. But God wants to do a work that always gives birth to testimony. Everything God does is meant to be given birth to a testimony. Right? And we need Smith Church, and God is still wanting to flow in that way that will give birth to great. I don't care if we've been here 10 years together. How long? God is still wanting to move in that fashion. So they were renowned. They were recognized. Their testimony preceded them. Their testimony preceded them. God wants to give you a testimony that will be your forerunner, that will precede you. Even Jesus had a word that preceded him, right? Even God sent a voice through John the Baptist to precede him, to testify of him and what God was doing in him and just God in him. And God still does that in you today. So number one, they were renowned. They were recognized. Number two, the second characteristic of this church, just general basic characteristic, is that they were repentant. Now, I know that is simple, but I need you to see this. He says, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You turned from God, from idols to God. You turned from the idolatry unto God. One of their marks is that it was evident that they had turned from the idolatry. Now, I want you to think this through. How did they used to treat that idolatry? What was the difference in their life? I believe it's something like this. I'm pretty sure that there was a time in their life where they paid reverence and they honored the idol. But God did something in them to where they could no longer honor the idol, and they gave their honor to the Lord. There was a time they used to lean on this idol. They used to trust in this idol. But God did something in them so prolific that no longer did they lean and trust in that idol. Now they leaned and trusted in their God. They used to value the idol. But God did something in them that caused them to turn from that and begin to value their God. Now, I would say this to a healthy church, to a defining characteristic of a Holy Ghost-influenced, transformed church, that it will always be said of us that there used to be some idol that we honored that we no longer honor, and now we honor the Lord. And there used to be something that we leaned on and trusted in that we found could not support us, and we no longer lean and trust in whatever it was, but now we lean and trust in the Lord. And there's some type of idol that we used to value in our lives, that the minute we encountered God, we could no longer find value in it any longer. We begin to value the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is important, because there's still a lot of people gathering in churches on Sundays and Wednesdays that's still honoring some idols. Now, it may not look like a statue. It may just be an ideology, just like some idols are. And I know this is true of some church folk. There's some church folk that's still leaning on and trusting in some things that's not named Yahweh and not called Jehovah, our God. Yet still, they're trying to come back and honor the Lord. What they had, they were defined by. They quit leaning on and trusting in and honoring and valuing what was not God, and began to give all that to the Lord. And that's just a general basic mark of a healthy church, but it needs to be said again today, because a lot of us American churches are still trying to lean on the idol of money and trust in the idol of money and value this or value that, that looks nothing like and has nothing to do with our God. They were defined by such a radical change that every bit of honor and value and trust and belief in that they was casting out in this world, and what men could make and what men could conjure and what this world could produce. And in one moment with God, one moment in God, they no longer had any trust to give to anything this world might manufacture. It all went to the Lord. And that is the mark, a defining characteristic of a healthy church. It was the mark of that church, and I pray to God that it is the mark of you and I. And it better be in the days and times in which we're living. Because what we're going to find is what we've been leaning on, even though we come into church on Sundays and Wednesdays and praising and praying, that these things we've been leaning on is about to drop us. These things that's been supporting us is about to drop us, and we're going to fall right there where we lean on it. And what we've been valuing other than the Lord is about to break us, because the only thing worth valuing is the Lord Himself. And that's what happens when you really get the real thing and get born again. And that is a mark. They were repentant. They turned. They turned away from everything that the world could say, look, this is God. Believe in this. Trust in this. Put all your weight and security in this. Value this. One moment with God, all those things were exposed as a phony, and they turned to the only thing that was true, because everything outside of the truth was nothing more than a lie. And they saw in that moment, through the being born again, what truth was and what the living God was, as opposed to any false dead idol that the world could produce. That is a mark of a healthy church. We don't lean on what the world leans on, and we don't value what the world values, and we ain't trusting in what everybody else is trusting in, and we ain't honoring the things they're honoring. No, not the church, because when you get really born again, a real encounter, it will strip all that out of you, and it'll place it in the one true living God. So they were renowned. Their testimony went before them, because that's just how God does it. They turned away from everything they valued and trusted in, everything they honored, and they gave it to the Lord. And number three, they were ready. They were ready. They were repentant and ready. Repentant and ready. Listen, church, we need to be repentant and ready. And ready. I don't want you to think minuscule in terms when I say repent, of just confess a sin or this or that. I'm talking about quit leaning, honoring, and valuing everything that's not the one true living God. That's what I'm talking about. Repentant and ready. Watch this. And how you turn to God from idols to serve the living true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven. To wait from His Son. Wait for His Son from heaven. He says, look, I was going places, And I was planning on telling them of what I saw God do in your life. And then I got there, and they started telling me of what God did in your life. Even though I was there, they was telling me how you used to lean in this and value this and trust in this, and how you turned away in one moment under one gospel preaching and under one expression of faith in the Lord Jesus. All that changed. Not only did you turn from it, but you was looking to and anticipating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he says, and how you was waiting the Son, awaiting the Son from heaven. We'll read it again. How you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. They were repentant and they were ready. They were looking for him. Look, they were looking for him. You understand that? They were looking for him. They were, and Paul is reminding them, I know that affliction is surrounding you and the enemy's persecuting, but remember how you turned and you found new value and you gave a new honor to a God that you had never known, and you found the real thing. And from that point forward, you set your eyes on the promise of God and his return, and how you looked and you longed and you awaited. Remember that, Paul says. Don't look at the enemy that's in front of your face. Look at the Son of God that's coming again. You set your eyes on him, not on everything negative around you. Set your eyes on your Lord Jesus that is coming to take you home. That's where you look. He reminded them, that's where you used to look, and he's reminding them, encouraging them, edifying them to set their perspective on the Lord Jesus. And I'm telling you the same thing to church tonight. I don't know what's going to happen in the next day or so. I don't know what's going to happen to us in the next. I don't know. But I can tell you this. It don't matter what it is. We can look at it for a little while. But whatever we're looking at it in this election, it pales in comparison to us setting our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and his return and him coming again to get us. Do you understand tonight? We need to be ready. And part of being ready is to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and awaiting his return and belonging and anticipating and wanting the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, come quickly, Lord. My God, where's the church? This has come quickly. I know we're torn. We want to see people born again. We want to see people born again and see the kingdom expanded. But also, you see in the Bible, at the same time we want these things, there's something in us that cries to God, come quickly, oh Lord. I want you. Come quickly, God. Come quickly. Something in your spirit needs to be crying, come quickly. If we become a church that no longer has the Spirit inside of us saying, Lord, come quickly, I'm awaiting your return, then we're not listening to the voice of the Holy Ghost, because always in him there'll be something in us that sets our eyes on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that says, Lord Jesus, come quickly. One thing I know about the church in the epistles, all of them were either instructed to or was looking for the return. And that's what Holy Spirit was doing in them, or either the Holy Spirit was exhorting them through the apostle. Belonging. Either way, it's a work of the Holy Spirit that says, set your eyes on Jesus. Long for the return. Stay busy. Keep laboring. But keep looking for the return. Amen. I know we need to hear this. Because when I was a little boy, they preached on it all the time, that he's coming again, be ready. I don't know where you went to church, but if you went to a little Pentecostal church I went, you heard them preach, he's coming again, be ready, he's coming again, be ready. Look, one of these days, soon it's all going to be over, and we need to be ready, he's coming again. You can dread it or be excited about it, you pick. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be excited than to dread it. I'd rather be antsy and looking forward to it than being fearful about it. You understand? And you say, well, why would you be fearful? Because the Bible clearly teaches that is the great and terrible day of the Lord. For many, it's going to be the most terrifying, fearful thing. But for others, those who are ready, it's going to be pure bliss and joy and glory. And we will await our groom who's coming again to get his bride. I told you, it was preached so much when I was little. I've told you this many times of how I can remember being little and back before cell phones and this and that and mama working later and daddy at home. And if daddy's watching, I'm just telling it, daddy, the way it was when I was little. I remember thinking this, being a little boy, little enough I could get in a windowsill, okay? Little enough I could get in a windowsill and wait on my mama to come home from work. And when she was late, I was thinking the rapture took place and God left me and daddy. And thank God she come rolling in. But I was scared. But you know why? Because I really believed he was coming again. I really believed he was coming again. I was just a little boy. I might not have had a PhD in theology, but what I did do is believe the Bible and believed he was coming again. A theology degree and that don't matter if you can't believe that. It was real to me. It was real to me. And it needs to be real to the church again. It needs to be real. We need to be ready. We need to think, I want to be ready. I want it, God. I want it. Make me ready. God, I want to be busy about your business, but I'm also going to be looking the entire time because I know you said you was coming to get me. And if you told me that, God, there ain't no way that you would ever lie to me because you cannot lie. You ain't nothing but truth. And you said you was coming to get me, and we need to be ready. So they were renowned. Their testimony went before them. They were repentant. They turned from idols. They turned and they put everything in this one true living God, and they set their eyes on his return, and they awaited, and they were ready. They were ready. So three just simple defining characteristics from the beginning of their faith journey until this was written in the present day. They got born again. Their testimony was renowned. They had repented, they had turned from everything the world had to offer unto the Lord, and they were ready. They were ready for him to come get them. They wanted heaven more than earth. They wanted heaven more than the United States of America. They wanted heaven more than democracy. They wanted heaven. Now, why were these the characteristics that defined them? Renowned, repentant, and ready. I think it's made clear at the end of verse 10. And to wait for his son from heaven, Paul says, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Number one, you know the theme of Acts as far as the gospel. Now, I understand we're in the dispensation of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus had to ascend and Holy Spirit couldn't be imparted into us until Jesus first ascended, right? And he ascended and he said, okay, I'm about to ascend, and that means the promise is coming afterwards. And so when I go up, you need to be ready because it's coming down. But at the same time, from heaven, vertically, is the ascension and the outpouring of the Spirit. Vertically, that's what's happening during this time frame. But horizontally, it is the preaching of the gospel, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody can die. Anybody can die on a cross. Can't nobody but God come out of a grave 3 days later. That was the thrust of Acts, the resurrection. You look at every detailed sermon that Peter's preaching. Look at what they're saying at Pentecost. Look at this. he makes reference to the resurrection. He quotes Psalm. He quotes Old Testament. He's preaching the gospel, the power of the resurrection. There is no Holy Spirit getting in you until you first believe in the resurrected Lord. So they preached, Holy Spirit, great power of the Holy Spirit, anointed the preaching of the gospel, the resurrection of the Lord, and they believed on that. And that made way for us to tabernacle God. For God to go from the dwell amongst you, God, to the dwell inside you, God. The resurrection. Now, the resurrection to this church meant power. It meant power. You understand that, right? What is so fascinating about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's unparalleled power. Unparalleled power. Oh, I believe in the one that's got power, and ain't no power on earth ever been displayed like my Jesus, like the one I believe in. What caused such a change in them that made a renowned testimony that preceded them, that caused every bit of value they placed in the world, trust and confidence and honor, that caused that to stop immediately and go to God? What was that? The power of the resurrection. Because what the gospel did, it quickened them. The same living power that resurrected the Lord Jesus Christ is the same living power that quickened their dead souls that were dead in trespasses and sins. Spiritually was dead. And the power of the resurrection awakened their spirit, breathed Zoe life into them. You understand, the resurrection is what made their testimony renowned. It was the power of the resurrection that brought such repentance. The power of the resurrection that made them ready. And it is still the gospel today. You understand? That is still the starting point today. Nothing else of God follows into the human unless first there is faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was power to them. The same power that manifested in the resurrection was the same power that rebirthed them and caused the repentance and the readiness in their soul. Let me just remind you, I've read this to you before. We just preached through Romans not long ago, but I can't help it. This is still one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, really. The day that the Lord really made it clear to me. Let me read it to you. Romans 1:4, and it was declared to be the Son of God with power. Somebody say power. According to the Spirit of holiness, that's the Holy Spirit, right? By the resurrection of the dead, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God. He was declared the Son of God. Jesus was declared the Son of God by the power of the Holy Spirit when he was raised from the dead. Same power in which we are regenerated, the regeneration of the Holy Ghost. That's Romans 1:4. Let me read you another. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. Somebody say power. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God unto salvation. Let me read you one more. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Okay, God's saying here that nobody has excuse. Creation itself displays the power of God. The power of God. So let's pretend like it ain't 2020 and we're over here in Neesmith and been taught the Bible all our life. And let's pretend like we just receive this manuscript, Romans, for the first time. Can we pretend like that for a minute? And so we're reading this thing in Greek. And we get through chapter 1. And what Paul is telling us is there's something called the power of God. The word power 3 times in chapter 1. And this power is explained through Genesis chapter 1 in creation. He speaks and creates by the power of His Word. Earth is without form and void and full of darkness. And He speaks, right? And then the other word power is when Jesus is declared the Son of God by being resurrected from the dead. And now I read that the gospel in which I just believed is the same power of the resurrection and is the same power of creation. Let's pretend like you just read that for the first time. I heard it said before that in fact it might take a little more power in saving you than creating everything, because in creation God had a blank canvas to start with. He just had to make something beautiful out of a blank canvas. If I'm an artist, I would a lot rather make something beautiful out of a blank canvas than you take me the ugliest portrait and I got to turn it into something beautiful. Because creation is the blank canvas. You're the ugly portrait that He made beautiful through being born again. Now somebody's going to go and be like, "He just called me ugly." That's why they were renowned, repentant, and ready. Because the power of the resurrection. You know what else the resurrection means? You know what it means to the believer? Not only is it the power of God in me, the resurrection, that same power is the same power that makes me a new living creation, right? A new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new, right? But it also means victory. Because when Paul talks about the resurrection, I love that he does this. He starts talking to death like death is somebody. You ever read that in Corinthians? See, Paul don't speak of death as if it's something, but he personifies death. So what Paul does is start talking trash to death. And what Paul does is says, "Death, you are the enemy. You've been the enemy this whole time. Until today. So I got to ask you, death, where's your sting? Because you don't sting no more." The fear and the sting of death, that all left. Read Corinthians when Paul talks to death. He talks to death, he personifies it as if it's his enemy himself. He says, "Death, where is your sting? You ain't got it no more because the Lord Jesus Christ overcame you." What would make you change and value the Lord over everything the world has to offer? Honor the Lord over everything that the world has to offer. Trust in. Have confidence in the Lord over everything the world has to offer. And then sit ready, waiting on His return. I'll tell you what. The one that overcome your greatest enemy, that defeated your greatest enemy, and imparted in you a power that would revolutionize and recreate you. That's what. The resurrection is why their testimony was renowned. They were repentant and ready. Amen? Not only that, okay, but also because they were rescued. I love this. Let me turn back. They were rescued, and I'm done on this one. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Oh my God. The word deliver is ruamahi in the Greek. It means two things. It means snatch is one, to snatch, to reach down and grab it real fast. And I'll tell you what the other one means in a second. It's even better. from the wrath to come. Let me just read you the Bible for a minute. Oh God. People say you can't preach hell because it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. I don't believe that. Because one part of you really comprehending the goodness of God is to understand something about hell. Right? Like how do I know that He is so good? See, I can't know that He's so good till I realize how good I'm not. Until I realize my destination because of how good I'm not. Does that make sense? You see, if it's His goodness that blesses me and gives me a great wife and children and has given me health and paid my bills and this and that, if that's the extent of His goodness, that's really good. Don't get me wrong. Nobody else in life could give me that right there. Nobody else could give me my wife and my children and all. Nobody else could give me that. But even that falls short of the fact that He rescued me from the wrath to come. Another thing when I was little that was real, that was hell was real. Hell was hot and it was real. I realize apparently from the pulpit, hell ain't as hot no more. Apparently, the way it's preached. Because some of us are going to get in trouble if we even try to preach hell. Some progressive Christianity, I'm going to say that again, some progressive Christianity don't even believe in hell no more. Do you understand there is progressive evangelical Christians that believe in a Jesus, believe in a resurrection, believe in a heaven, but don't believe in a hell? I know some standing in big pulpits that pastors hundreds that even come out of Holy Ghost filled meetings. I know some. And that will mock you if you even preach. Oh God, let me read John 3:18. Let me start with John 3:16. Sometimes John 3:16 has been so good that we've not valued the verses that follow. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Now let's skip on down to verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on Him. Not the wrath of the devil, but the wrath of God abideth on Him. Let me read you another verse or two. We could do this all night. I'm just going to read you a couple. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Do you understand there's wrath coming? Now let me read you this. Revelation 6:15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face. hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Did you hear that? Every rich man, mighty men, the mighty men in the earth will cry, hide me from the face of the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? Paul said, your testimony was renowned. You turned from everything the world had to offer, and you was ready for Jesus because it was Him that delivered you from the wrath of the Lamb. And it speaks to two things, this word. Number one, it speaks of urgency, that they snatched Him up right in the brink of time. The same one that delivered them was the same one handing out wrath. But with one hand, He delivered them. He snatched them right in the brink of time. If we get it in us that God delivered us from the wrath to come, sometimes we think hell is just for everybody else. Sometimes we've been saved so long that we forgot that we were ever headed there. You know? We forget that we were ever headed there. We've been walking with God so long that we forgot that that's where we should have been had it not been for the grace of God. As if we are so far transcended above it, and we have by grace and grace alone. That's it. Now, also this word, Ruamahi, not only does it mean to snatch, but the other word picture is this right here. It's to grab, to bring it in. This is the picture that in your helplessness and hopelessness, that He came to your rescue and He grabbed hold of you and pulled you into Him. Just like if it was your child about to walk into fire, you would grab them and pull them near to you. That's the goodness of God that brings repentance. You see, you got to have the full picture. You understand that, right? The full picture is where we see the goodness of God. And when we come in this... What if we could come in Sunday and worship like He delivered us from hell? Because I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I don't think we have been. Or what if we went and told people about Jesus like He had just rescued us from hell, but they're about to go? See, they were ready because they knew they were rescued. They were repentant because they knew they had been rescued. And if we're going to turn from everything the world has to offer and be ready, we've got to realize and we've got to focus on the revelation that we've been rescued. We've been rescued and we've been transformed by the resurrection. So that was who they are. And that was why they were who they are. Because it was the love of God that rescued them from the wrath to come. You understand wrath. Wrath is for every man. And wrath is for every man. The wrath of the Lamb is for every man because every man has sinned and transgressed a holy and a righteous God. Every man. And beside every one of us, it will be said that wrath fell. That wrath fell. And that sin was recompensed. And wrath fell. That judgment fell. It will either fall on me in hell, or I will stand in the righteousness of Christ because it fell on Him in my stead. When we realized that the same Lamb that's going to hand it out is the same Lamb that took it in. And we'll either stand on the side, on the side of Him that says, I took the wrath for you, or we'll find ourselves in the other. Now, that rescue, That rescue is what made them repentant and ready. It's the goodness of God. It was the grace of God. The goodness of God brought them to repentance. And it was the power of the resurrection that transformed them. That's why their testimony was renowned, and they were repentant and they were ready. I want you, church, not to focus on a president, because that's going to happen one way or the other. It don't matter. I mean, it matters. I'm just saying that if you worry about it for 5 minutes or for 10 days, it ain't going to change the outcome if you worry about it. You understand that? So your best bet is not to lose sleep over that, and not to worry about that, and not to get on the phone and call everybody and find out what they think is going to happen, because they don't know. Just don't even call them. They don't know. They don't know either. All these people on TV say they don't know. Now, this is what you can do. You stow away with the Lord and get along with Him. And you start to meditate on every spiritual truth and every reality, and how He delivered you, rescued you from hell when you didn't deserve that, but He did it. And how He rose again, and that same power is applied to you. You can focus on that and let that bring forth a testimony that's going to be renowned. I promise you, if you are driven by, for the rest of your days, if what drives you, if the fuel that drives you is the power of the resurrection and the gospel and the grace and the goodness of God that rescued you from hell, if that drives you, then your testimony will be renowned. And you will be repentant, and you'll be ready. Miss Brandy, would you play a song? Let's pray tonight. Let's pray. We got so many things to pray about. Now, having said that, let's do pray for our country. We need to pray for that. We need to pray for that. We don't need to worry, but we need to pray. We need to pray for that. Let's pray for lost people tonight. Let's pray for lost people tonight. Before, let's pray that one guy's a president. Let's pray that both of them get saved if they ain't. Let's pray for souls. Let's pray that snatching away is going to take place. That snatching up from a devil's hell, from the wrath to come. Let's pray for that. Let's pray for the lost. Right now, we're going to walk through prayer tonight. You pray for the lost. Pray for the lost tonight. Pray for the lost. God, save us. Save them, God. Lord, we're asking for mercy, God. We're crying for mercy. God, mercy. God, from the White House to the homeless in our streets, God, we're praying for mercy. God, Lord, we're praying for an outpouring of revival, God, for a release of the gospel in great power. That great grace will fall on the souls of men, and they'll be delivered, and they'll be rescued from the wrath to come. Let's pray that the church will quit leaning on everything that ain't Yahweh. Let's pray that the church won't lean on anything that ain't Yahweh. That we ain't going to honor anything that exalts itself against the Lord our God. We refuse to honor and value anything that exalts itself against you, O God. Any counterfeit mimic that wants to sit on a phony throne and call itself God and do what you want to do in our life, we come against it, we rebuke it, and we refuse to honor and to value and trust in whatever that is. God, let a testimony be birthed from us, God. And God, let it precede us wherever we go. God, on an individual basis, let them say that Stetton, was this, but God changed him. I know he did that, but God, you can tell God has got him and God's got a hold of him. He's different. Just talk to him. Just listen. He's different. Let him say that of me and you, and let him say that of Neesmith Church. It ain't the same church it was 10 years ago. And it ain't the same church it was a year ago. And it ain't going to be the same church next year if we're still here as it was right now. Lord, let them say it, God. Let them say it. Lord, release the testimony that will be a forerunner, that will draw men to you, that will bring you glory, that will exalt your name in the earth. That we would look and be ready. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you, Father, for plucking me from the fire. I don't know about you. I feel like I was on hell's doorstep. Say, so you was just a little boy, and you wasn't that bad after all. No, but I was lost. I was lost and I was undone. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. The spirit of disobedience thrived inside of me. I couldn't cast it off. I couldn't rebuke the spirit of disobedience. I didn't have nothing in me to rebuke it. Open rebellion against God was my only option until the resurrection of the living God through grace began to awaken my dead soul. He quickened me. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I know I deserved it, God. I know I deserve it. But ain't nobody got to tell me. God, I don't need critics to tell me how bad I was. I don't need nobody to cast judgment on me. I've judged myself enough to know, God, that I deserve it. Thank you, God, for grace. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, God. Everybody say Amy. Pray for her right now. God, we speak her name. We speak her name. Amy, God. We speak her name. Before your throne of grace, we call her name. We speak her name tonight, God. We speak her name tonight, God. We bring her before you tonight, God. Move right now, God. Move right now. God, do exceedingly abundantly above whatever I can ask and think. God, move right now, Jesus. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God, I don't know what you're doing in her right now, but you're doing it. God, I don't know what you're doing, but God, you're with her. I know, God, you move at 8:02 p.m. Oh, I know you just visited her, God. I don't know what you did, but you're doing it, God. And I thank you, Lord. Oh, God, I'm not the only one that knows you're doing it, God. Oh, God, we pray for our sister tonight. Everybody say Rita. Rita, God, we call her name before you. Oh, God, that's intercession right now, God. We call her name before you. We call her name before you, God. Let us be caught up in your presence. Let us be caught up in your presence. In this holy moment. Not caught up in the worry.
Before Miss Sue comes in church on Sunday, her sister's going to call her and tell her what you did, God. Before she comes in here on Sunday, Miss Sue, Rita's going to call her and tell her something you did, God. Something you did. Something she felt. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Miss Sue, did you say for your other sister too? Father, we pray for Carolyn. We pray for Carolyn. God, touch her right now. Move right now, God. Oh, God, undo what has been done right now, God. Whatever it is that has been done, undo what has been done. Touch her, God, tonight. Touch her, Jesus, tonight. God, I thank you for Miss Linda. I thank you, God, for what Linda means to this church. I thank you, God, for her faith. I thank you, God, for her stance on that which is true. She's loyal, God, to truth. God, she's loyal to your truth. God, I know she is. I've seen. She's loyal to your truth, God. Lord, she has the heart of a servant. She serves and she works. She's been a Proverbs 31 wife all her days. Thank you, God, for the good report. No. Thank you, God, for the healing. Bless her tonight in a special way in Jesus' name. What other prayer requests were there? What other? I know there was more. I'm forgetting them. Kenneth Stewart. Let's say, Kenneth, God, we call his name before you. Father, I know he said he took a turn for the worse. So God, we turn into the best. And we call on your name. We turn to you, O God, tonight on behalf of him. I pray, God, that you would strengthen his lungs. I pray, God, that you would breathe into his lungs. God, I want to pray in boldness tonight. I know they said he took a turn for the worse. I know, God, they want to call the family in. I know that, God. But God, Lord, I want to pray with boldness, God. I don't want to feel like I got to pray some inferior prayer because you can't do the bigger prayer, so I got to settle for the... So God, no, Lord, I pray you heal him tonight in Jesus' name. God, I pray that you heal him tonight in Jesus' name. Touch him tonight, God. What other prayer requests were they? Somebody else mentioned one earlier. Yes. Let's pray for Tammy. Everybody say Tammy. Lord, I thank you, God, that you've already, God, you've been bringing her out, God. Lord, you've already, Lord, with your hands begin to mend her body, Father. Lord, already, God, already, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that you would continue, God, to exalt her, God. Lord, you're exalting her body, Father. You're exalting her, God. Lord, you say that if we humble ourselves, that you will lift us up, God. You will lift us up, God. When we humble ourselves, that you will, God, if we don't, you will abase us, God, you say. But when we humble ourselves, God, I ain't always knew, God, everything that meant for you to lift me up if I humble myself. But God, I am confident of this, God, that when I humble myself before you in the greatest needs that I have, God, when I humble myself before you, that when you begin to exalt me, God, I know, God, you ain't just lifting up my spirit and leaving my mind below, God, and you ain't just lifting up my spirit and leaving my body down, God, that when you exalt me, you exalt me. You created me, God, mind, body, and spirit, God, and I pray, Lord, you will continue to exalt every fiber of this woman during this time, and I thank you, and I call it done in Jesus' name. Anybody else tonight? Miss Darlene had prayer request. Her family. Just say Sister Darlene. We're going to call her name, and that's going to be the umbrella of her entire family, because that's the way God does it. Through mothers and fathers, there's authority in mothers and fathers. God gives that authority, and that is the umbrella in which our children fall under, God. And I don't think you outgrow it, God. Lord, we pray, Father, for her family tonight, God. God, I pray, Lord, that you will heal her children. Lord, heal, God, her family. her brother tonight, God. Touch him, Father. Touch him, God. Oh, Father, touch him tonight. Right now, God, touch him, Father. Lord, touch him in such a way, God, to the very core of who he is. That, God, that his environment and the influence of his environment won't even matter, God. That his environment will lose the influence, Father. And, God, that your touch will be the factor that determines him and dictates him, not just now, but, God, upon his release. And, Father, Lord, touch him tonight, God. Touch him, Jesus, Father. God, I just feel, Lord. Lord, God, I just feel that, God, Lord, in my spirit, I see voices calling names to the throne, and I see a mighty wind that is coming forth from the throne, and it is blowing his way right now in Jesus' name. Oh, God, touch the family. Father, we pray a covering over our widows. And we pray a covering over the fatherless. And Lord, for our elderly, God, that's in nursing homes. God, we pray for them tonight. I pray for every addict tonight. Every addict. Lord, especially the ones that their family has even gave up on them. Pray for them. God, we cry on their behalf. We cry for their deliverance. Lord, we pray for our governments. We pray for our enemies tonight, God. We pray for our enemies tonight, God. God, if we harbor any feelings against them, Father, we forgive them, and I pray it's true. I pray it takes place right now. Forgiveness is offered. God, we ask that you bless our enemies only in a way that outcomes a right relationship with you. Bless them, God, in that way. We pray for our enemies. I pray for our sister churches. Pray for that one over there. God, and the ones all around, we pray for our sister churches. God, bless them, prosper them spiritually, in every way, God. God, as we ask you to purge us, God, I ask you to purge them as well and bless them. I pray, God, for my pastors around here, for our pastors, God, wherever he is, she is, Lord, these, God, we pray, Father, for those that are pastoring, Lord, whether they a senior pastor, or they the children's pastor, God, or are they whatever they are, wherever they are, God. Pray, God, for great anointing. God, we pray for holiness. God, we pray for holiness. Father, great anointing, God. Give them great anointing. I pray for our nursery workers, God. Give them equal anointing, God, equal anointing. Great anointing for our nursery workers, God. For our school teachers, God. Lord, we just pray, God. We pray. Lord, there's so many people and positions, God, and needs, God, that is springing forth out of my heart tonight, God. And Lord, we just pray. We're asking, God, move, God. Throw your weight around. Lord, I know, God, that we got free will. And I know that you're a gentleman, God. I know you don't force yourself into intimacy with no man. But God, I wish you would. I wish you would, God. God, there's some that, Lord, I pray you would force your hand upon them. Shake them, God, and rattle them, God. Move on them in such a way that would bring trembling, God, that they would be paralyzed in your presence until they got up believing. I know, God, you may not do it that way, but God, I'm asking you to move. Throw your weight around, God. Force your hand. God, we've grown so wicked, so distant, so cold, and so hard, God. God, move mightily. Move mightily. Move mightily, God. We need it, Father. I know it's our fault, God, but we need it. We need you, God. We need you. We need you. This is not just a good Wednesday night church service. Don't see it that way. Don't see it. Don't go say, well, tonight was good. Tonight was good. Don't say that. It's momentum. It's momentum. It's momentum that's building into the end of the days, okay? Don't accept this as it was a good night and we'll be thankful for it because next night probably won't be as good as this night. Don't do that. Momentum. This is momentum that is building into the end days and into these last days and these times right now in our situation where we are. This is a movement of God that's building. It's a momentum, okay? It's a momentum. Don't you come in here Sunday morning like last Wednesday was good and it was just unusual. Don't do that. Come in here that the ball that's rolling tonight's going to be a little bigger on Sunday when you get here, okay? I love you. God bless you. You're dismissed.